But later, as the 11 were at table, he appeared to them and rebuked them for their unbelief and their hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who had saw him after he had been raised. And so the question for us is our hearts hardened in some manner which prevents the Holy Spirit respects our free will? Is our hearts somewhat hardened, preventing grace to enter? What effect can God's grace have in a person's life? And again, it depends on if the person is humble. Humility, what is it? I like this definition so much. It's seeing things the way they truly are. I'm not God. I'm not in charge. I don't make the rules. I'm not the creator. I'm just this little minnow. But yet God became a little minnow, didn't he? And he dignified. We are created in God's image and likeness. And he raised the status of a minnow to a whale. It's incredible. And so if we let God be in charge of our life, wow. Look at the disciples. Before Pentecost, they were a mess. And Pentecost was receiving the fullness of the Holy Spirit, right? That's why confirmation is so important. They were unbelieving, their hearts were hardened, and they were fearful. That Easter Sunday, and that's the gospel tomorrow, they were locked in an upper room thinking, well, we're going to be arrested next, and that's what we're going to have to go through. And they would have seen crucifixion victims on the cross. A normal crucifixion victim lived 3 days. Jesus lived 3 hours because he was scourged so severely. I was at St. Mary's in Sutton, and Father Hollebeck showed me, and I never really looked at the backside of the Shroud of Turin, but those lacerations from the scourging were from head to toe on his buttocks. He was stripped naked. Do you think Jesus had a cloth around his waist when he was crucified? Scripture said he was naked just to complete all the shame and just to... He was just lost so much blood he lived 3 hours. All so that we can live forever. And so then after Pentecost, the disciples were fearless and truly grace-filled. They were filled with faith, hope, and charity. Faith, hope, and charity. Notice that God showed great mercy and forgave them for their unbelief. Now, this was after hanging around Jesus for 3 years. They were hanging around and were with Jesus for 3 years. And despite those 3 years with our Lord, they still had hearts that were hardened and were unbelieving. And yet, God forgave them. Jesus forgave them. And they became great saints. At Chrism Mass, before our Chrism Mass on Mondays, usually someone comes, and usually all the time, someone comes and gives us a little day of recollection. And this past Chrism Mass, it was Bishop Andrew Cousins. He's one of the youngest bishops in the United States. And he gave just a marvelous reflection to us. And he said this, that we are not called to live a natural life. Well, that's all I ever wanted. Well, I just want to live a natural life and be happy and et cetera, et cetera. I just want to have this a natural life and have tulips in the front. And of course, they last more than 2 weeks, right? I'm going to have the good tulips, the genetically modified tulips that last a little longer. And what's the temptation of a seminarian? Usually, when I was in the seminary for 4 years, when seminarians leave, they leave in the middle of the night, always. Because they have to pack up, and they tippy-toe out, and they don't want anyone to try to talk them out of it. And they tiptoe out, and they leave in the middle of the night. And the temptation for a seminarian is, I'm going to find the perfect woman. We'll have the perfect children, and they all have straight teeth. No need for an orthodontist, no spaces. And then we'll have the perfect dog, and never go doo-doo inside, and have a white picket fence. I don't know why it's a white picket fence. Why not a chain link fence? I don't know. But and then we'll never have dandelions on the lawn and everything's going to be perfect. I mean, that's a temptation of a seminarian. And we all know that when, in married life, there's challenges. And my mom and dad have been married, it's going to be 63 years. Did they have challenges? Yes, they did. They're very good parents and very faith-filled. But did they have challenges? Of course they did. And we all, but that's a temptation. But God is not calling us to have a natural life. None of us. So if you think all you want to have is a natural life, God is calling us to have supernatural lives. For instance, to live forever in heaven, that's not natural for us. That's supernatural. That's above our nature. Any more than a dog being able to talk, that would be above the dog's nature. I want a dog treat. No. Scratch that. I want some of that filet mignon, so don't eat it all. And don't give me the liver and onions either. That'd be supernatural. So God wants us to live supernatural lives. And compare the high priests and those Sadducees in the temple area. They had unrefuted evidence that this paralyzed man, who had been well known, was whole. And when someone's paralyzed, their limbs are like broomsticks. And here is this man, normal, in front of them. They know it's him. And they know that these disciples worked a miracle, and it was God through them, because God works the miracles. And they said, Jesus is risen from the dead, and in his name this man stands cured. And yet they wouldn't believe because of their hardness of heart. Incredible. Unrefutable evidence. It would be like being in a funeral home and a cadaver comes to life and someone's saying, it was through Jesus. God, I don't believe in Jesus, even though I have unrefutable evidence. And so, living supernatural lives. And be assured that the same is in store for us if we too approach the throne of God, his mercy in all humility. So let us remember these words, and may they be a catalyst, an enzyme, a catalyst to help us open our hearts more. Later, as 11 were at table, those 11 that spent 3 years with Jesus, he appeared to them and rebuked them for their unbelief and their hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had been raised from the dead. Well, guess what? We see him every time we gather for Mass in the breaking of the bread. Remember those two that went to Emmaus? They recognized him in the breaking of the bread, in Mass. And we continue to this day to see and recognize Jesus in the breaking of the bread. Acts 2:42, early Christians, they spent time together in community, praying in the breaking of the bread.